The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said,
"I am not."
"Are you the prophet?" He answered,
"No."
Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said,
"I am
the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them,
"I
baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, kids and Karen. $500 million, the amount of money spent on Christian books last year. $500 million. 50 million books were sold, and that means Christian books, and that is, fiction, nonfiction, all kinds. But the question is, how do you know the good from the bad? Like I told you that one week, we have that one book that said why the rapture will happen in 1987. And I found that at a book sale, and it was on the free pile. So, you know, that might not have been a very good book to read. Didn't want to spend your money on that. So this group called the International InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. They are a campus ministry non-denominational group, and they wanted to know what are the best-selling Christian books other than the Bible, so that people would know what are the good ones. So if I said to you C.S. Lewis, would you know who that guy is? Have you heard of him? Bob. You're out. It's not fair. You've already heard that. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, but the book that he wrote that is in the top four books of Christian books was called Mere Christianity. And he was edged out by a guy that was born in 354. Augustine. You can say it either way. It's okay. Saint Augustine. He wrote his book in 397, called Confessions. It is the top Christian seller. And so C.S. Lewis's book last year, Mere Christianity, that he wrote in 1952, sold 3.6 million copies. It's 65 years old. However, Augustine's book, number one, Confessions, edged him out. And that was written almost 1,700 years ago. So that's really pretty amazing. What's even more amazing is that both of these men struggled with their faith. C.S. Lewis quit being a Christian for a while. He got bored in church, hard to believe. He felt that church services were boring, and he didn't like it. Plus, the whole problem of evil bothered him. He's English. He went to World War I where the problem of evil bothered him even more, and he saw horrendous things. He came home, and in 1931, he decided reluctantly to try to be a Christian again, and this time it took. He said he could not deny the reality of God's work in his life and faith. He was in a Christian group, he was in a writer's group with another Christian called J.R.R. Tolkien. Does anyone know who that guy is? Yeah, me too. And he wrote the Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit, considered Christian books. And J.R.R. Tolkien is a Catholic, was a Catholic, and they were in the same writing group. The number three book is the Lord of the Rings trilogy of best-selling Christian books. The fourth is Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran pastor who was put in prison and later hung for being part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. Anyway, we still hear from these men today, Augustine, C.S. Lewis, Bonhoeffer, and J.R.R. Tolkien. But of the four, three of those books are books on how to, sort of. You know, how to walk as a Christian, how to live as a Christian. The book Mere Christianity is sort of just about the basics of the faith, the basic timeless truths of the faith. Why do these seem to sell so well? Because we need help. This is not an easy thing. And today, it's about our identity. Being a Christian in this world is being different. If we are really doing it right and really trying to live by these principles, it's hard. And so we need help. And today, Paul in 1 Thessalonians is writing to a new little struggling church that he began in northern Greece. And they were being persecuted, and Paul had to leave quickly. This book, by the way, is the first book written in the New Testament. Did you know that? It was probably written in about 50 AD. So he's writing to encourage them. He's writing them to help them, to instruct them. Is this law that he says? No. But the things that he says are pretty darn hard. Let's look at that again. Thessalonians. What does he say? I'm sure this will be really easy for us. Rejoice always. Does that really mean always? Like when I lose my job? Like when my family, my husband is sick? When my grandma dies? When things are hard and I'm confused? Rejoice? Seriously? Yeah. That's what it says. Okay, thanks a lot, Paul. Pray without ceasing. Really? Doesn't he know we have to work? Doesn't he know we have other stuff to do? I mean, it's Christmas. We're busy. Thank God Jesus wasn't too busy, but we're busy, right? Too busy to talk to God all the time. That's pretty hard. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Give thanks in all circumstances. What does all mean? Dr. Carlson used to say, my epistles professor and my Greek professor, what does all mean? All circumstances. Holy moly. All. Give thanks when we're struggling. Give thanks when we're humiliated. Give thanks when we're sad. Give thanks. Wow. Rejoice. Here we have Rejoice Sunday up there. See that? On our banner. And what have we got up there? Three crosses for rejoice? And yet it says Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was before him. The joy of it. Really? I don't know if he was feeling that much joy in torture, in humiliation, being spit on, beaten. And yet, we are to try to live a life like him. We are preparing in Advent, not just for a better Christmas. We are preparing for the second coming of Christ and preparing to celebrate his incarnation, God's incarnation as a human, to take on our suffering and our lot. Some of these things that Paul is telling us, seem impossible. It's like spiritual calisthenics. You guys come here, some of you, Mondays, Thursdays, to do your stretches, your calisthenics. This is something we all need to try to do. Are we going to be able to do this perfectly? Oh, heck no. It is so hard to do these. But as Christians, you need to know that these things, and there's things around the sanctuary here, will change you. How? Well, thanking God. Remember when I told you I thought it would be a great idea, and it's a very good thing. It was very meaningful for me when I was keeping a gratitude journal by my bed at night and thinking of 3 to 5 things that I could, and it has to be different every day. You can't just always say my family. Well, heck, we're all thankful for our families, most of us, or most of our family. But aren't we? I mean, let's not even put that up there. We know that. So, but this stretches you when you are giving thanks and writing it down. Just thinking it is not the same. Because when you're writing it down, you are going to have something to go back to. And you are going to see the ways that God has given you little gifts every day that you were thankful for. The ways that God speaks to you. The ways that God works in your life. And by thanking God, you are saying, I know this is you. This isn't just random stuff happening. It's you. I'm thanking you. Praying. Praying at all times. I've talked to you about this with Brother Lawrence, the cook in the Middle Ages that worked at a monastery. Didn't like to cook, but that's what he did. And he learned, as he was working, to pray all the time, to be sort of like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, sort of this constant conversation with God. Now, how is that proclaiming anything? How are we being a light in the world when we're doing that? Well, God's hearing us, and God is working with and answering our prayers, but that is a witness to God. When you are praying, what are you saying? That you believe in him, number one. Number two, you believe that God is listening to you. You believe that God cares. You believe that God is not off there somewhere just like, good luck with the world, guys. I made it. Now I'm out of here. You believe, we believe, that God wants us to pray. God is concerned about every little thing that we do, that we think, that we struggle with. We can complain, we can cry, we can laugh, we can do all of these things with God, but it's a relationship. And our witness in prayer is to spiritual beings and to God more than anything. But then we are also telling people, I'll pray for you. And then rejoice. Rejoice always. Rejoice. The rejoice candle. And then we have the cross. When we rejoice, well, that's just pretty hard sometimes. It's been a hard year for me sometimes to rejoice. Has it been for you? Then there's other times I feel such joy. And I think that this is when we are feeling some of God's joy. Because God has joy. Jesus went to the cross for joy. God had joy in creation. You can see it by the crazy colors and patterns and things God did in creation. There's joy in God. And we get to have some of that. And when we rejoice, even in bad, what are we saying? We're saying that this isn't all, that there's more. And God is in here somehow in the bad, working good. When we give to others, we feel joy. Just like when God gives to us, God feels joy. And God wants this for us and wants us not to get so down that we can't see that there is good coming and that this world is not the only thing there is, as tough as it is, that we are to rejoice in even suffering and tough times. And so today we're gonna do this little spiritual exercise. Paul is our coach. And these are muscles that we don't like to use. Now, I know every one of you could go and write up there thanking God for family. Let's just not write that. Let's just take that one big, we are thankful for the family. Let's think of other things we're thankful for. And then I want you to write on another sheet of paper on the same thankfulness sign, what keeps you from being thankful? What makes it hard for you to be thankful? Because it is not easy. You don't sign your name to it, but just put it up there. This is our little Thessalonians, our little church, and our struggles, and what we struggle with here. The things that we have joy in, and the things that we struggle with. What are we praying for? I know you can all write a sign for what you're praying for and do that. But let's also witness to others that we have struggles with prayer. Why? What is your struggle with prayer? Or what keeps you from being able to pray every day? Forgetfulness? Don't really believe God's going to answer? Don't think it matters? Whatever that is, put that up there. And then rejoice. What are you having joy for right now? What are you rejoicing about? But what is also makes it hard for you to rejoice about? If anyone needs, so I'm asking you to do this, and I'm asking you to do this quietly. This is a spiritual exercise that we're going to try to do for practice, to help you practice this in your own lives, because these three things are the important marks of a Christian. And no, you're not going to do them perfectly, but we need to try to lean in to these practices, because these will help prepare us to be better lights in the world, better Christians, more like our Lord. So if you do that, then you'll go put your stickers to each around, and then we will say a prayer and be done. What I'd like to say is, you know, we're aware when we do anything like this just how far short we fall in trying to do these things. And, you know, in verse 23, it says that God is faithful. God, it is God who sanctifies us, and God will help us to do it. And so this is not us. We do not make ourselves holy. God does. God sanctifies us. God helps us. God does all the heavy lifting here. And all he needs is to see that you are trying to rejoice in hard times, that you are trying to pray more in little ways all during the day, that you are trying to think of God, and that you are trying to give thanks even in difficulties. God sees these, comes running, and helps you to do them. And so that's all I need to say. I know that none of us are perfect. And when you think of the guys that wrote these books today, not only Augustine and C.S. Lewis, but Paul, also a guy who struggled with faith, who actually persecuted the faith, and God turned him around. And so don't worry that you struggle with faith or that you may have problems. Sometimes you feel you're too imperfect. All of these people were used by God. No, they were not perfect. And so all of us are also okay, and God will use all of us as well. Let us pray. Almighty and living God, you give us ways to be closer to you, to show our faith, ways to be lights in this dark world. Help us to prepare a place for you in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would change us, whatever it is that needs to be changed. Sink all of these practices deep down in our hearts. Help us to do the hard thing. We resist this, so help us, Lord. Hear our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Amen.